Good morning. Thank you for having us. Before we get started, how many PhDs are in this room? Cool. How many MDs? How many scientists? All right. Well, we've got that straight. I'm not in the top third smartest people in this room. Second question before we get going, how many are from the southeastern United States? Oh, cool. The rest of you? You're the ones that talk funny. So we'll get started. Again, I'm T. Green with Greenway Medical. Thank you so much for having us. A little interesting presentation, I hope, for you today. I'm going to share with you, I'm certainly not a PhD, I'm not a physician, I'm not a scientist. But what I can share with you, what's happening around the country in the ambulatory clinics around the United States as it relates to electronic health records. So if that's fair, we'll get started. Changing the world of quality research in public health, investing in electronic health records. We'll see if this works. Yep. So changing the face of public health in the last century. Obviously, you guys have made tremendous contributions of what's happened in the United States and around the world, from immunizations to chlorination to what's happening with our water systems all over the United States, and they're continuing to improve. Coronary diseases have continually advanced, although we got a lot of work to continue there. But the point is, you guys have made tremendous impact. And now I think we're going to see things that are going to evolve through the electronic health records in the physician practices, especially around the United States. The technology today, I'm going to share with you real-life examples of what's happening in thousands of practices around the United States. Megatrends impacting healthcare and public health and research. These are the things I think at least you need to understand how we feel about these things as it relates to ambulatory clinics. So if we just dive into it, there's three main things driving this industry as it relates to physician practices. There's three trends that are taking place across the country. One is electronification, and you read about it in every newspaper you pick up. We read about the American Recovery Reinvestment Act. We read about what this stimulus plan is going to do. And if it works, it's going to drastically change how public health interacts with physician practices around the country. The second thing that this electronification is doing is bringing a consumer for the first time into the healthcare system. If you think about it, most of our customers at Greenway think of their customers as patients. Very few physicians of ours think of their patients as a customer. Well, those days are changing. The customer's becoming more and more powerful in the purchasing of healthcare. And then the third, and maybe kind of the holy grail to this, is how do we improve population health in this country? Think about this. Is there any Alzheimer's researchers in the room? No? What about stroke researchers? No? Okay. Well, think about this. How many of you in this room are affected by Alzheimer's in one way or another? Family members, aunts, uncles, cousins. Look around the room. Okay. How many of you, since birth, have had any of your information sent to the Fisher Organization or any other world-renowned Alzheimer's research organization, your de-identified information sent to the registry so that those PhDs could look at environmental impacts on Alzheimer's? How much of your data has gone to help look for a cure for that disease? Raise your hand if your data has been sent to this registry over the course of your life. Look around the room. One person. That has to change. And it can change, and it is changing today. So to improve population health, we have to go back and we have to electronify. And how is this going to impact each of us in the country? If you look at electronic health records that are being used at the point of care today, we are still in the innovator stage or the early adopter stage. The current electronic health record users in this country amount to somewhere between 4% and 5%. Now, you can read studies that'll say physicians up to 20%, 25%, but if you go back to what the American Recovery Reinvestment Act is defining as meaningfully using an electronic health record, that means physicians at the point of care will be documenting patient encounters electronically. We are still in single digits. So think about this. If this plan works, if Washington is successful, how's electronification going to affect you? Data liquidity. If we have 50% of physicians by the year 2015 documenting patient encounters at the point of care, there's going to be a tremendous amount of information that is now electronic and now that can be shared. Are we ready for that? Are you ready for that? Are your systems ready for that? The consumer, those of us, my generation, I guess, we expect better tools and better technology from our healthcare system than we have today. And if you think about once we liquefy the data, so to speak, in the electronification stage, if you look at the demands of 350 million consumers over the course of the next 5 years, now I don't know if that's going to happen. I'm saying potentially that could happen. Are we ready for that? Do we have the registry set up where people like T. Green, whose family has a history of Alzheimer's, can you think about how I would look for my providers in the future? I would go to their website, and if they didn't have a seal of approval from the Fisher organization or from one of the Alzheimer's researchers, that I knew that my information would be populating that registry, you think I'll go find another physician that would offer me those services? Absolutely. Efficiency and automation from the consumer side is going to be expected because we get it where? In everything else we do. We get it from our airline industry, our hotel industry, our banking industry to somewhat. Patients are also going to be looking for trusted partners. Obviously, PHI, personal health information, is very sensitive. So was financial information. We built in the 90s one of the first check imaging applications for the banking industry. And I remember very open forums such as this in 1992, 93, people said, T, we will never put our financial information online. Well, guess what? We did. People said, T, we'll never put our healthcare information online. We will. So 350 million consumers in 5 years expecting liquefied data to be populating places that they want it to go. How are we going to handle it? The consumer, if you think about it, they've become more sophisticated. They've become more powerful. And what do they want? Control on the go, correct? How many of you have iPhones today? Blackberries today? How many of you use those devices to interact with your physicians? How many of you use those devices to interact with your bank? My point. Improving population health through research. This is probably one of the most exciting things and one of the reasons we're in this business today. If you think about it, and you guys are the experts, you know more about this than I do. But if you can walk with me for a second and look at healthcare, we believe at Greenway, and I'm sure most of you do, that you could argue that healthcare starts in genetics and ends in organ donor transplant, at least the majority of your organs. Once you give your organs, you're the longer part of the healthcare system, they could care less about you. But the majority of our money is spent on the organ donor side of this equation rather than the genetic side. Do you agree? Absolutely. Well, if we're going to improve this system, we've got to back it up that spectrum. You agree? If you think about our healthcare system today, and you guys are doing some neat stuff, but I'll be honest with you, in the private practice world, it's pretty antiquated. If you think about what's measured and monitored in a physician's practice today, it's frankly zero. But we wake up tomorrow expecting what? It to be better. And so if you think about it, what in your personal life, your business life, or anything else that's not measured or monitored, as we talked about just a second ago, that just happens to improve? Well, nothing. So as we look at this, we've got to build these tools and technologies that allow us to back it up the curve. And these things are evolving today through the electronification. And it's only going to accelerate. Once the electronification stage takes place, the consumer is going to demand it. So we're going to see an acceleration I don't think many of us are prepared for as far as what consumers expect to do with healthcare information. Invest in and impact health earlier through research, education, and better care delivery. So how's this technology reshaping what you and I do? Because we're obviously in two different arenas, but how are we going to interact together? Well, the evolving healthcare, we think the future is moving or colliding, as some say. And we look at it in three kind of circles. You have healthcare, you have life sciences, and you have public health. All three of those today, because there's not true electronification, there's not true data liquidity, are somewhat operating independently of each other, or three disparate systems. But what happens once we liquefy data? Things start to happen. A collision starts to take place, or a fusion starts to take place. A new reality starts to emerge that we can integrate clinical, financial, public health, and research platforms. Public health and research can start to leverage the innovations that are taking place in electronic health records. And I know there's many of you in this room today that go, T, yeah, we've heard this before, electronic health record data, but it's just not accurate. It's just the quality of it's poor. I understand that. And historically, you are correct. But that's not a good enough excuse to continue to pursue in the name of health. Registry reporting enhanced by the electronic health record, what's happening today? If you look at immunization registry reporting around the country, what can an electronic health record enable? Eliminate double entry of data. You can pull directly from the registry, or you could push to directly from the registry, from the point of care. Obviously a huge benefit to the states as well as the pediatricians. Statewide awareness of immunizations and needs, being able to look at your state at a macro level, being able to get accurate immunization forecasting, because the information would be pushed and pulled. If we skip a shot, we can send it to the public health registry and they know that, so they know how to forecast going forward. Benefit, we can respond in real time. Cancer registry reporting. How many work in the cancer side of the field? Anybody in here? Several? Most of your information today comes from the path lab. Is that fair? Not much of it comes directly from the physician's point of care. Is that fair? So what does an electronic health record enable? Ease of reporting from the point of care. Not only can we still continue to get information from the path lab, but we can get it directly from the physician's practice. We can collect information outside the laboratory. So not only what it really provides us is expanded data collection. We have the path lab and we have the physician's practice. And data coming from the physician's practice, think about it. We can have much more colorful information around that patient. That's valuable, correct? Reporting adverse drug events. Our national conference is taking place right across the street at the Marriott. We have over 1,000 customers in the hotel, and today we're wrapping up our conference there. And there's hundreds and hundreds of physicians in our conference. And you may or may not be shocked by this, but if I took a poll on how many physicians in the room fill out MedWatch forms, what do you think the answer would be? On a routine basis, how many average physicians practicing in communities fill out MedWatch forms on a daily, weekly, monthly basis? Not many. Why? It's cumbersome. It's ineffective. But what will an electronic health record allow us to do with an ADE? Efficiently submit MedWatch forms electronically without impacting the physician's workflow. Because obviously if we slow the physicians down, we're costing them money. Accuracy is greatly improved by reducing manual and duplicate entry. Quality and quantity of reporting increase. I think the quantity, if you talk to people in the Astra Project and people like Michael Ibarra from Pfizer, who I've spoken to several times, they said the quality of, or the quantity of MedWatch forms are deplorable. So quality and quantity of reporting can increase. Benefit improved awareness of needs improves what? Patient outcomes. Electronic case report forms within the electronic health record, things that are happening today. This is not Star Wars technology. Clinical research, something that's very dear to my heart as it relates to Alzheimer's. Everything we're doing because of the Alzheimer's Registry is worth it to me, if we can, all of us in this room, begin to participate. So what can electronic health records enable? Identify and qualify patients faster. While most of our practicing physicians, at least early on, I don't know if they'll participate in phase two and phase three trials, but my conversations over the last week, I have yet to find physician practice that would not participate in registries if they were available for major diseases like Alzheimer's. Just think, if 50% of the physicians in this country were populating registries for you guys to study, what would that do for the future of health in this country? So the benefits, rapid acceleration from bench to man with drugs, with studies. We have a study going on today, the Real AF study. It's a phenomenal opportunity for our customers. We've taken, and I guess everybody knows this term, Joe the plumber. We've taken Joe the physician, and I don't mean that discredit in any way. I'm just saying these are average physicians in communities around the United States that have never participated in any type of research post-medical school. They move in their communities. They have paper-based offices. There's no way they want to participate in anything that's going to slow them down. But through technology, we have customers around the country now populating this registry in the name of advancing care or prevention of stroke. Now, is that worth doing? Absolutely. Quality reporting measures directly from the electronic health record. If you look at Physician Quality Reporting Initiative, it's a very cumbersome process for practices. But what can electronic health record do? It reduces the burden on physicians to keep up because we can do it all electronically. Draw on actual clinical data in addition to billing data. Most of you ever worked in the PQRI stuff, most of it's coming from the CPT code. But there's more valuable data that can be populated for research purposes and trending purposes. So increased accuracy of reporting is the benefit. Disease surveillance and supporting from electronic health record. Now, I'll be honest with you, this one's not actually released yet, but today you can see it in interoperability showcase as it relates to the flu and what's happening across the country. But disease surveillance and reporting is going to be incredibly powerful. In our network today, there's over 19 million lives that are connected through this network. So if we can build the alerts through the electronic health record platforms, we can tap into an ever-growing network of real-time information for the value of patients or for the safety of patients. And if you think about our network today, and there's obviously other platforms out there, we have about 19 million lives. That is a fraction of what's going to happen over the next 5 years. So the question we continue to ask, are we ready? And the question I would ask you guys here, Finn, are you ready? Are you ready for the amount of data that could potentially hit this country and your systems over the next 5 years? Granted, some of this data, we don't know what form it's going to be in. We don't know the protocols it's going to be transferred in. But those are just things, those are just facts. None of that will take place that it's going to happen. Standards will evolve rapidly as this data becomes liquid. So I know, I think today in the interoperability showcase, you can go see an example of how the alert would work in a flu-like environment or any other alert that we could build to run through this network. So the benefit, obviously, is rapid response. So in closing, we do have the interoperability showcase on after this, and I hope some of this information has been of value to you. Again, I'm certainly not a PhD or a scientist or a physician, but what I can tell you is what's actually happening today in thousands of ambulatory practices around the United States. So with that, I thank you for allowing me to come, and I'll be here for an hour after this for any questions or answers you guys would like to ask. Thank you.